Welcome to the Cover Zero Podcast Super Bowl Recap Show. Tonight, I'm your host, Jordan, joined by Corday, my brother, Mr. Comedian, the stand-up guy.
Hey,
he's
man.
He's back here on the show.
How you doing, back bro? Here. Hey, I've been good. I've been traveling, bro. I've been in Washington. I was dealing with extreme weather. I was in Oregon, not close enough to you. I was in Medford, and Portland's 250 miles away. It snowed where I was at, so I was wondering, I'm like, yo, is my flight going to get delayed? It kind of did because there was ladies and gentlemen, we have a little bit of ice on the plane. We got to use a device to spray it off so we can fly it off. Okay, cool. All right, we'll be back later. Like, okay, cool. So it was on like a 15-minute delay. I was like, versus the previous week, it was a six-hour delay and my flight got canceled. So, yeah. Mm. But I'm back. Mm-hmm. Back. I'm here.
Back, you made it. You watched the Super Bowl tonight as Kansas City wins 25-22 late in the first quarter of overtime. The Niners dominated early, and it mm-hmm. seemed like they were really pulling away in terms of the momentum. Mm-hmm. But the score never was really out of reach for the Chiefs, and mm-hmm. that was the really interesting part. Tonight, yeah. What do you think the biggest reason for that was, why the Chiefs were able to keep it within reach for their offense and everything else to fall into place?
Before we start that, did you know it was the first quarter of overtime? When they said overtime, did you know it was the first quarter?
Yeah, so, well, because they have to give the Chiefs that full possession.
Yeah.
So they have to give them that possession. Because postseason rules, which they enacted after that Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, 13 seconds, divisional round, that whole thing, they put this new rule in that in the postseason, both teams get the ball no matter what. Mm-hmm. Your quarterback gets to touch the ball. You get to have that possession, which I love. I actually love that rule.
Yeah.
This is the first time we've ever seen that put into action. And this is only the second time we've ever seen a Super Bowl go to overtime.
Yep.
So there was that there too. So until that possession was completed, it would have rolled over to a second quarter of overtime.
Yep.
But they didn't need it because, you know, we all know how
that is. I'm glad you explained it like that, because I remember they said it's a new game that started, and I remember when Tony Romo was explaining it, and I'm just like, hey, this clock is ticking. He's like, oh, don't worry about it. It's a new game, so it'll just be the first quarter of overtime, and like how you said it as well. Mm-hmm. I just wanted the listeners to understand that, because if other people was confused, because I was kind of like, this clock sure is ticking down, and I think the Chiefs knew it as well, that it was going into like a new game as well, so they probably had, but it's still... They didn't need an extra quarter like how you said because they went ahead and got that dub. And it was a terrible play. I'm saying it was a terrible play.
Terrible play?
I'm what saying it was a terrible play. Let me finish. It was a terrible play because it was the same kind of motion-like thing that they used against my Eagles to beat us for 2 touchdowns last year. That's
the in-and-out motion.
But the in-and-out motion. But it was a great play because I didn't see it coming. So it was a great play. They pulled out a bag. I'm just being petty because it scored 2 touchdowns against me. But also, what they did, I was like, oh, snap, because this time was a little different where they pulled Miko back and then motioned him and then had him stop right behind Kelsey. Hiked it. Kelsey went left. Miko went back out right. Sprint right, like roll out, touchdown.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a great play design.
It was because it's when Ward has the number one. So relation to how the routes distribute, Ward's got to take the one.
Yep.
But when one pre-snap, the guy who's furthest outside being the one, becomes the two,
mm-hmm.
they snap the ball the second he becomes the two, and then the second after they snap the ball, he becomes the one.
One, exactly.
It's you know.
Quick. too quick for the defender to like notice.
And once you're done sorting that out, I got him. There's a huge level of depth.
It's like too late. Yeah. It's too late because Miko runs a 4-3. He stops running full speed back. Mahomes is sprinting to the right. So he's already his momentum is carrying him there. So he sees Miko Harmon already just open wide open, hits him for the touchdown. Boom, game over. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, yo, I was like, what? Well, I didn't see that coming. I was sitting down. I had to stand up when I saw. I was like, "Oh my God, this is crazy. This is amazing."
But
let's talk about the game. We talk about the end, and let's review the game.
that's a huge part of it. Like that was the most recent thing we saw, and I think what that also speaks to is over the course of this game, something that we also saw was Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes do two things. Mm. One of them was not overreact. there was that point after things weren't necessarily going their way, and they just like Kelsey's shaking Andy Reid's arm, like we were talking about, and Reid didn't really trip because he's Andy Reid, you know. And then there's that other point where like things got bad, and I want to say it was Cordae. For everybody listening on podcast, Cordae,
pass me the ball. What you doing, Andy? Don't you see my girl up here watching? She brought her friends and said I was going to ball. You ain't doing it to me.
I can't even do his face justice with words. You just have to see it. That's the only way I could leave you with. But like, and then he sat with Mahomes on the bench for a little bit, and they were just having like a candid conversation.
Yeah,
like that just speaks to where this team is, and the trust that exists without this unit, and was really dope to see. And Reid adapting over the course of the game was the biggest thing, and then also them just not getting rattled. Those are the two things that I was bringing up when I was talking about looking at this in retrospect. Right now, if we were to look at a couple of the numbers, Patrick Mahomes, 3 Super Bowls.
Yep.
3 Super Bowl wins in 4 trips to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
3 Super Bowl MVPs, 2 MVPs on the year. There are now 3 quarterbacks who have 3 Super Bowl wins in their repertoire. One of them is Tom Brady, obviously. The other is Joe Montana. And the third is now Patrick Mahomes, as Andy Reid is also the 5th coach all time to ever have 3 or more Super Bowls. And on top of those accolades for Patrick Mahomes, 3 Super Bowls in 6 seasons. I mean, what more? We've said it before on the show prior to him adding this accolade to his belt and adding to this to his trophy case, that what more can we say about Mahomes? And yet here he is doing more again. Do you have anything more to say about this guy? Like, do you?
He didn't panic sometimes. Like, I remember the one time when he dropped back and it looked like he was about to throw it deep, and Romo was like, good patience with Mahomes, and he did cock back and throw it deep, which probably could have been interception, and he checked it down, put Pacheco. So it shows the growth that Patrick Mahomes has been doing over these last 2.5 years. At first he started doing when people just started doing cover 2 and then let Tyreek Hill beat him deep, and now without Tyreek Hill, he's, I'm just like death by 1,000 paper cuts. I'm a nickel and dime you, nickel and dime. I'm going to take what's here. And then he was finally able to get those 2 runs, those 2 crucial runs that Mahomes always gets to set them up properly. And I was like, hell yeah, this man is ridiculous. Best quarterback I've ever seen, best ever. He's just not as accomplished as Brady is, but he's the most talented and the best that we've all seen so far. Because we've seen the talented Aaron Rodgers, who's mobile and could throw on a dime. And Mahomes has taken that to another level. And he has 3 Super Bowls to Aaron Rodgers' 1.
And it's just the way that you see this guy operate. Like, there was the plays where they ran, like, the zone reads, where he kept it. And he just knew how to, like instantly. He knew he was keeping it. The pace
that he plays. The 4th and 3. The 4th and 2 or something like that. Yeah
that the 4th and short with the slide route to Kelsey. Really good call. Yep, you see, you guys run a variation of that. Where you throw a guy into the flat off of a zone read look.
Yep.
Like, it's just, you know, so many different things. You have basically 4 options in one play. Yep. So, you know, he could throw it deep, he could throw it to the flat, he could hand it off, or he could run himself. 4 options in one play. And you got to sort all that out, you know, and that's a lot of work to do. And then there was like when he knew he was going to Kelsey late in the down off of the drag route, when Kelsey just like completely shook Fred off the line.
Ooh. Good round.
And then Mahomes knew, like, I'm going to go to my guy in this point. And, like, Kelsey was not necessarily the way the game unfolded was Mahomes used this word in his post-game presser, and I'm going to use it right here. The way the game unfolded was a microcosm of how their season unfolded. He said this in the post-game presser when he accepted that Lombardi. And why I bring it up was because they kind of let Kelsey just be, like, this afterthought decoy early on. Mm-hmm. And like, just, we don't really need you right now, but if we want to get to where we want to get to, we need you later on.
Yeah.
So they kind of put him on ice and eased him back in. Since the postseason's been going on, Travis Kelce's been the best pass catching weapon in the postseason, and he was again that in the second half when they needed him to be.
Yeah. Also, we can look at it as well, because Travis Kelce wasn't that effective early on in the season. Remember, he hyperextended his knee. I think it was the Tuesday before the Thursday game practice, and then he had a high ankle sprain. So basically, the start of the season, he wasn't playing well, but he was also injured. And I think he was only 17 yards away from getting another 1,000-yard season as a tight end, which would have been incredible. I think it would have been 8 straight or 7 straight. I'm not sure. Years for a tight end to have 1,000 yards. So that he was that short. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they put him on ice. They was trying to have – he was out there as a decoy because he wasn't effective. But once he got to the postseason, we saw how healthy he was. And in big game moments and in big games, Travis Kelce always steps up. That's why he was yelling at Andy Reid, because he's like, hey, man, F all this spreading the ball around. Come to me. You see how I've been doing? Like, don't try to get these young dudes. It's two guys you should be throwing it to. It's me. And then Rashid Rice. And then finish up with me. I was channeling my inner Dylon with that. Name the 5 best rappers. Dylon. Because I spit hot fire. That was what Travis Kelce was yelling at Andy Reid.
He only had three names. But to speak to the target share, it still ended up being, of course, a Kelce game because of the second half. So to those numbers that we were talking about, Travis Kelce had 9 grabs for 93 yards on the day, 10 total targets. Rashee Rice had 8 targets. Nobody else had above 5. That was really what stood out statistically. Another note for the Chiefs right now, Patrick Mahomes threw for 333 yards. He rushed for 66, led the team in passing, led the team in rushing, had 2 touchdowns, and obviously that very uncharacteristic interception that he threw when he overthrew Kelce on the corner route. That was very uncharacteristic of him, but
that was definitely like a forced ball, it seemed like.
They were trying to make something happen. Their offense was really kind of lifeless at that point.
Yeah.
The first quarter, I mean, we talked about it being a tale of two halves and that sort of thing. But to move it to the other side of the ball tonight, Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
I thought the kid played well. The kid played well, man. This is not a game where we can back out of it saying Purdy didn't. I mean, sure, the overtime drive led to a kick. That's what ended up happening. I don't feel like that's something we can necessarily peg on him to continue to weight the man down. The pressure that Steve Spagnuolo sent against him on that 3rd and 4 to force the incomplete, stop the clock, to get the ball back, et cetera, that was really insane. So
then also,
what were your thoughts on Brock tonight, bro?
My thoughts on Brock was, especially early on, he was getting away from a lot of pressure. Like the 2 games previously, he didn't come into this game throwing balls in the dirt, playing badly. He actually got out feeling very comfortable and actually doing pretty well to start the game, which normally that they have to usually come back in a lot of these games. And if this was the case, I was going to say, I don't think they would have been able to do it. But also, the Chiefs wasn't doing nothing, so it wouldn't have mattered as much. But he played poised. I can honestly say that he played way more poised this game than the last 2 previous games. And it seemed like they got him out early with like some stuff. They was booting him. He was running when he could. He was getting away from pressures. He was running for first downs. And then it was like little stuff that helped. Like I still remember, this is late in the game, but that it was like a holding penalty that let the drive keep going and let them go down and kick a field goal or score a touchdown. He played well. Like it's funny, his stat line it's been the same for his last 3 games, usually like 22 or 23 completions, around 38 passes total, and it's like around 200 yards, 1 touchdown or 2 touchdowns. But he didn't have no picks this game, but it wasn't like a lot of the passes was hitting the dirt or he throwing behind receivers or he looked like he's just he's running right trying to throw the stuff across his body. Like none of that happened. He was a lot more poised in this game and the moment wasn't too big. I think, honestly, if we really look at it, it's more of a problem with Kyle Shanahan getting away from the running game, you know, getting away from what's working.
Do you think he got away from the running game?
I kind of do at points where I remember because Romo kept talking about how tired the defense was. Like that last drive in overtime when it was running down their throat, that was like, okay, we're going all the way down. But That's a good question. I feel like he got away from certain playmakers. Like George Kittle wasn't involved as he should have been.
His shoulder injury, though. That was towards the end of the game.
Before that.
It's tough always with George because he's such a focal point in the run game. So it's like they're using him in creative ways in the run game. And then how do you assess, oh, they're not getting him involved as a pass catcher, but they are getting him involved as a run blocker. Yeah. So that's always a slippery slope to play to go against. But
I'm thinking like doing both, like have some easy completions to him, you know, like have him like fake in, roll right, you know, stuff like that. Get him involved. Yeah,
there was a play in the first quarter where like Kittle released to this like a rail route, you know, like which looks a wheel type of route. And he went deep and he had a one on one with Edwards, the safety, and it was against the blitz. And Brock got rocked on the play and got out for a short completion. And I thought as soon as I saw that one-on-one, he was just going to give Kittle a chance against Edwards. Yeah. I'm like, he didn't. So
It didn't. Yeah, so it was – and that was kind of like his one target for, like, most of, like – I think mostly the game, because I think going into the third quarter, the fourth quarter, he only had that one target the entire game. Mm-hmm. And it's usually, like, that's always the thing. Like, sometimes, like, especially when Debo went out, I was like, okay, this should be a – Kittle,
like a play or something. Yeah.
He was still like, I don't know how hindered he was because really Debo didn't get that many touches either. Because I'm like,
after he came back, he got one.
And it was like he ran over a guy, and I'm just like, all right, so then it's kind of a why aren't like Kyle, why aren't you utilizing these players? Okay, maybe Debo, that hamstring is still hurting him. All right, we're switching this up. Like, okay, Kittle, Ayuk. Y'all gonna be the main factors from here on out, you know. And then we still gonna use McCaffrey and a lot. Funny thing about it, McCaffrey didn't catch a lot of passes in the past game. So you got to really credit the Chiefs. Besides that one, for the touchdown that is one screen.
McCaffrey led this team in receptions today. He had 6 grabs today on 8 targets. I mean, so he did a lot there. That's the one thing I was going to bring up is like the overuse of McCaffrey. I thought today was something like we saw them mix in Elijah Mitchell for like a 7-yard gain, and at the point when Elijah came in, I was like, okay, like we want to have McCaffrey later on down the stretch. Yeah. Christian was beat up tonight. You saw him after a play, hey, I need one, dude. Like you,
was you like, know, he was like, let me
exactly, yeah, he, like, exactly. That was something I thought that we would see a little bit more of, because it's not like Elijah Mitchell is incapable. That's the thing that really stand out to me the most. But yeah, I got to give Brock some credit here tonight. One other thing I want to give credit to, and I don't think this is an area where a lot of people like to give credit. I know this is an area where people don't like to give credit. This game, in terms of what you could ask for overall, more or less well officiated. You know what I mean? Sure, there was this call that should have, that was ticky tack. There was like the play where like when Ayuk was offsides or whatever. There was a before Kelsey got his huge gain against Fred. Yeah. Fred hog tied him around the neck and threw him on the ground. And of course, you could say like this holding call, that holding call, whatever.
Yeah. But or overall, like there was like a few short, Andy Reid, you should have challenged this right here because this actually was a first down, but it's now 3rd-and-1 or 3rd-and-2. And then he was end up getting some of that stuff. I was like, oh, so a little stuff like that. But yeah, it was a very clean game. The only one was like the one against McDuffie. There was like the holding after.
The holding on Juwan Jennings on the 3rd-and-13. I'm honestly not, you're right. That was like iffy. But I'm not like, if you call, he, I think his technique on that one, because he did hook him around the waist for just a
hook.
Second.
It was a hook,
so I'm okay with that. That doesn't bother me. But you're right. Like, that's like, I don't know about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it was like, that's textbook holding. You know, he got his arm around. But I'm looking at it, and like, you see, he says he's
holding. It's like illegal contact.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's like, because Jennings is pushing him off as his arm is right there. So he's kind of like right here. And then Jennings, you just see Jennings fully extend. And then like, I'm like, well, which one is it? Is it holding or is it? So, but yeah, that was like, you know, very clean game.
We don't want the refs to play a role to where it feels like something, like, you know, and they didn't tonight. You know, they let them play. There was like the McDuffie bat against Debo Samuel.
The early one in the end zone. Then he had another one on the sideline. Well, that was Mike Edwards. But I'm like, hey, these guys is playing.
McDuffie tonight. I mean, apart from his that defense, that
That's the only bad play. Only bad play.
He was everywhere.
Everywhere.
Trent McDuffie, like, we talked about this, and I, like, he would be, honestly, if I was to give out, like, I would still give it out to Mahomes. I mean, the man had basically 400 yards of offense tonight. Come on. Yeah. So we'll have to go there. But, like, McDuffie tonight, so many different times. I was watching the game with where I was at my dad's house. My boy was there, and then my brother was there, and I'm just like, McDuffie. Edwards. Like, I'm just saying his name over and over and over again. It's so many different.
If it wasn't McDuffie, it was Edwards making a play, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I was thinking because, you know, MVP awards is always given out to the quarterback. I was literally thinking, sitting there, I'm like, okay, if we don't give it to Mahomes, who gets the MVP? And funny enough, I wasn't really thinking about nobody on the defense specifically. I didn't think about McDuffie, even though he was making a ton of plays. I was thinking, okay, maybe Kelsey. I was like, Pacheco, but he ain't been doing much, and I had to really think. But I was just saying, like, just, you know, just offense. Because I'm like, well, they're not – you know why I didn't think of McDuffie? Because I was like, they're not going to give it to somebody on the defense. So then I started looking at offensive players, and I was like, well, Pacheco, because at that time, Kelsey hadn't been gotten going yet. So I was like, all right, well, maybe him. And then as it started going along, Kelsey started getting a little more. He shook Warner and stuff like that. And I was like, okay. And then Mahomes won it. But, yeah, McDuffie was out here balling. And it was funny because I remember people wasn't sure when they took him, like, if he could really transition. And that man has been amazing ever since.
I mean, is this
second or third year?
He was in that. So that was that corner class. If we want to do a quick little brief flashback, it was Sauce Gardner, Trent McDuffie. Yeah.
So it's second.
And Derek Stingley.
Yeah.
All in the same corner class. Pretty nuts. That's pretty nuts to think about.
Three solid-ass corners.
Dope. Like, all very worthy of first-round picks.
Yeah.
I had them all three in the top 10. Anyway. Okay. Another story for another day. But, yeah, that was a really interesting point on how they played tonight.
Yeah.
Overall, man, I just – Niner fans – this is what happens when you play against a guy like this. I don't really know what else to say. I mean, the turnover battle ended up evening itself out. Usually you think when you, especially when early on with the one that McCaffrey fumbled, that kind of put you behind the eight ball, but the defense stepped up. I think we saw that happen for both teams tonight. That was a reoccurring theme. It's how, like, this was a team win and a team game all the way through, where one team would make a turnover, and then someone else would step up and go ahead and try to rear back and basically take the advantage back in their favor. Before we get out of here, bro, any closing thoughts on the game?
I listen to a podcast. I also watch it on YouTube called The Right Time with Imani Jones, and he just calls Mahomes Jordan. And when this clock is ticking down, even though it's the first quarter of an overtime game, and they win a game with, like, what is it, 5 seconds left, and I'm just like, Jordan. It's just Jordan. Just Jordan out here just doing Jordan things. The calm he was with. I wasn't worried about it at all. Tony Romo going and saying, he's like, you waste too much time. You should be doing this. I would run. And then he was like, I would be aggressive right here. And he's like, no, I wouldn't be aggressive. I'm just like, hey, man, you know Mahomes going to win this, right? Like, I didn't want to say it because I was like, how will he win this? Because he only has two options. He only has two options. And he figured out they went to
Harmon. Didn't it feel different, Mahomes, when you know Mahomes has four downs?
Yep.
In that last drive, you know he's got four. There's no way.
He got four.
The whole time. And then it's like, damn, that's scarier.
For me, it was always, if they get 5 yards on second down, they're gonna convert. That's all I kept thinking. If it's third and short instead of third and long, they're going to get this. I just kept thinking that because I was like, especially when Miko Harmon ran backwards on first down and it went from
MVS.
MVS. MVS Valdez Scantling, my bad. When MVS Valdez Scantling, it was going to be like second and three, but instead of him running, keeping going forward, he ran backwards and it became second and 14. And everybody just like,
Chris Jones ran further forward, jumping off the sideline to be like, what are you doing? Chris Jones
came forward. I think he was going to run over to Andy, like, hey, yo, take him out. They'll take this dude out. He's going to ruin it for us. But they went back to Valdez Scantling, and he picked up. And then he picked up nine. So then it went from second and 14 to third and five. And I'm like, okay, well, third and short, they're going to pick this up because you got two options. We're going to run it up in the middle with Pacheco, and then we're going to pass it. So, yeah. Or Mahomes might drop back, and if he give a little crease, I'm going to run and pick up 15 yards. So, yeah, it was a very calm thing. Like, he going to get this. He going to get this. Like, he going to win this. Watch. I was like, it's Kyle, you know, came. I was like, but Mahomes out here and with really no real weapons besides Kelsey. Rice has been doing his thing, but no real weapons. Like, and yeah. No.
Yeah. Faith. I mean, we know the difference makers rely on the Niners ball, which was pretty interesting tonight to consider the impact that Juwan Jennings had. I think this podcast would be a stupid one if we didn't at least bring what he did.
Yeah, we got a bunch of Jennings. Yeah.
Do you know who he joined as the only player in the history of the NFL to receive a touchdown as well as
throw a touchdown. Yes.
Oh, do you know who that might be?
Is it Mr. Saint Nick himself who has a statue outside of Lincoln Financial Field? You talking about that guy who led the underdog chance and stuff like that? Who Carson Wentz was feeling weird that if he was still on the team, because I'm not a good leader. That guy, Saint Nick, Mr. Nick Foles, we talking about him? We talking about Mr. So fly Eagles fly, we talking about him? That's what we talking about. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, welcome coordinator of the show now that But yeah, no, most definitely with the throwback to McCaffrey today on the screen. Really nice call. A timely call, just like timely what we see in the playoffs. That sparked a conversation today where I was at watching the game where we were like, think about like the times in the playoffs where you've seen trick plays called. And stuff like that, and touchdowns result from them. I thought that was really pretty cool. But yeah, overall, I think this was the Chiefs being who we know they can be when they need to. That was what was most exemplified today on the field today. Of course, we remember the Mahomes' final drive, how throughout the early part of even the late drive in the fourth quarter, where they needed to get Harrison Butker into field goal range to send it to OT, and how easy just boop, 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 boop,
boop, down, boop, got down there. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like he was operating on a level that was just so high. And some of it is because Steve Wilkes fell into his familiar area, which we don't have guys. Let's drop that play zone.
Yeah.
Safe. I don't want to give up anything big. Mahomes is like, thank you.
Thank you.
Mahomes knew what he was getting before he snapped the ball on those drives. And then
you're playing three people deep. Oh, we about to go under on this. All right. So, broom, 10. Broom, 13. Broom. Oh, they're at field goal range.
Kelsey on the drag. Right, yeah. I mean.
Now we probably got to turn it up. Now we need to.
we need to turn it up. That's exactly what he did. And tonight it was just. I also think in overtime where they got the sim pressure to get the ball back to Patrick. That one was absolutely dope, where they set McDuffie on the blitz on the inside. They did a stunt where they disguised the blitz from McDuffie coming from the second level. He twisted inside. Karloftis on that side going out. That dragged Trent outside, and that spread open the space to be able to take advantage of Aaron Banks, who's the left guard, who's the weakest offensive lineman on that unit right now. I mean, this is like Spags. Coming to life and doing what
now
he does.
Now we could in right tackle. I want you to say that about my El Cerrito High alumni. He's the second best of that line. He's the second best.
Second worst. No. It's Trent, it's Brendel, and Feliciano are all better than Aaron Banks. Anyway, that would take a whole other podcast for me to not convince Cordae of that. So,
yeah. No.
All right. Well, Kansas City wins 25-22. The football season is done.
Yep.
Man. Another year in the books for the Cover Zero podcast. Going to have a lot to say when draft season comes up. That'll be the next time that you hear from us. Going to take a small break as to give a tribute to the end of the season. Cordae, appreciate you being on tonight, bro.
Appreciate you, homie.
All right. Thanks for everybody listening. It's been a fun season. Podcast definitely not done. We'll see y'all.